Let's see here now.
Dagnabbit.
What in position are you doing there?
I'm checking up on these canned peaches.
They don't make very much noise about it. Can't you see I'm trying to read? Not to wake the day.
Well, I can't help it. I got to check up on these canned peaches, don't I? Let's see, there's one. Two. Three.
Oh, see, stop that, tell you. I'm
not. Oh, shucks. Dagnabbit, you made me lose count.
Well, the last one is four.
Oh, yeah. And three and four is seven. Seven cans of peaches.
Well, hold on. That seems right.
Suddenly it's right. Three and four is seven, ain't it?
Yes, but let me see here. You made a mistake somewhere. You only got four cans. Four. What I meant was the last can of the fourth one. See? This is four, three, two, and one. There's four.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I get you. Four cans and one. That's five.
Huh? Five?
Sure. Four and one's five.
Oh, but dadgummit, there's only four. You can see that for yourself.
Hold on. I got it, Zeb. I got it. It's that last can that's making all the trouble. I'll fix that. I'll just toss it into the trash.
Mm-hmm.
There, that'll fix her.
All right. Now, for God's sake, keep still. Let me finish reading, will you?
What you reading that's the dad darn interesting anyhow?
Oh, I'm reading about the unraveling of the Senator Bunn's statue day after tomorrow. Land of Goshen. How many times do I have to tell you that? According to the Gazette here, it's going to be quite a shebang.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, they're going to have a sort of entertainment. Listen to this. It says, it's all pinked out here. Pro Grammy, the Squidville Silver Cornet Band, march forward.
How do you suppose they'd march? Backwards?
Oh, that's the name of the march. The name of the march. And it says, open the address by Judge Ellis on the brink of a new... that's a funny one.
And what is?
This word here. E-R-A.
Yeah, but that must be a misprint. Must be ear. E-A-R, ear.
Yes, but it don't make any sense that way.
Certainly it makes sense. Judge Ellis is on his ear.
Maybe. Next is an original poem, The Victor Rides by Mrs. L.
I don't blame him for riding by her. These hitchhikers give me a pain anyhow.
Oh, what's the matter with you? The Victor ain't a feller?
Well, what is then? What is it?
It's a photograph. Now, keep your darn trap shut. Accepting speech.
Hope they have decent records for it.
Oh. Accepting speech by Mayor Schultzenheimer. Unveiling. Oh, yes. Unveiling statue by Miss Iona Bunn. Squidville Silver Cornet Band. Exit, Thunder and Blazes.
Well, what's an exit?
It ain't nothing. That means to go. The statue committee...
That don't seem right, though, does it?
What don't seem right?
Well, getting the Squidville band over here to play for the celebration and then tell them to go to Thunder and Blazes.
No, Thunder and Blazes is just like Ford. That's the name of the piece they're going to play. The statue committee, consisting of Mrs. Pinkley and Miss Iona Bunn, has privately viewed the statue of the senator and pronounced it perfect.
It ought to be for $2,000.
Following the dedication ceremonies, dinner will be given at the home of Senator and Mrs. Bunn. Among those present will be Mrs. Pinkley and Captain Pinkley, Mrs. Ellis and Judge Ellis, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, Mayor Schultzenheimer, Miss Hortense Schultzenheimer, Miss Iona Bunn, and Mr. G. Lard.
Yeah, but what about Hector? He's invited, ain't he?
Like fun, he's invited. All he wanted to Hector was to put up the money to pay for the statue. And as soon as he done that, they was through with him. Say, I'll bet they don't even bring up his name day after tomorrow.
Now, Hector's a dad darn fool. Let him get away with that.
It's his own fault. I warned him ahead of time, didn't I, Plenty?
Yeah.
He might be a smart young fella there, but he certainly ain't no match for Iona Bunn. Oh, say, did that fella, G. Lard, ever come in for that envelope Iona left here for him?
No, it's still back the cash register there.
Yeah, you better take it over to him when you go to the post office. And you might as well go now.
Ah, shucks. There won't be no mail first at the post office.
Now, don't start figuring up excuses. You go ahead and get on your way.
Now, wait a second. Here comes Hector. Maybe he picked up the mail. How do you do, Hector? Any mail first at the post office?
Hello, Hector. Oh, hello, Mr. Peters. Hello, Mr. Winterbottom. Why, I didn't go by the post office.
Now, you see, you could have been over there and back while you was putting it off. Now, get going here. Go on.
I am going, ain't I?
Yeah.
Don't listen to you, Dad. You're always in
a
hurry
to all the rest. Fine chance of rushing you. Say, Hector, you seen this week's Gazette?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Why?
It's got the program in it for the statue unveiling, and your name ain't even mentioned. And what's more, Senator Bunn's giving a party afterwards, and you ain't invited.
I ain't.
No, you ain't.
I ain't. Say, let me see that paper. Let's see that paper.
Now, wait a minute, and I'll get it to you. Thanks. Right there you be. Read it yourself. See that? Among those present...
Let's see. Let me read it. Let's see here. Well, for goodness sake. Well, Mr. Winterbottom, this is the end. Hector Smith is generous. Generous to a fault. But in the face of perfidy of this sort, there is nothing left but revenge. Yes, sir, revenge is what it's going
to
be.
Well, I'd like to know how you're going to get revenge on Iona Bunn. She's a girl. You can't do nothing to her.
That's right. That makes it difficult, doesn't it? But never fear. I'll work out some plan to thwart her schemes. Just don't forget that, for when Hector Smith makes up his mind to do a thing, it's just as good as done, Mr. Winterbottom, as good as done. I remember the time I discovered the North Pole.
You decided to discover the North Pole?
Yes, sure. Didn't you ever hear about the time I discovered the North Pole?
Now, look here, Hector Smith. I don't want to hear none of your dad.
We chartered a boat, Mr. Winterbottom. We chartered a boat, and a staunch craft she was. A staunch craft was she. And we named her the Lunch Hour.
The Lunch Hour?
Yes.
That's a funny name for a ship. What'd you call her the Lunch Hour for?
Yes, that was one of the most interesting side trips of our journey. Well, 2 days after we...
Yes, but listen, I asked you why you called her the Lunch Hour.
Because the odds against our getting back alive were 12 to 1.
See, now...
She was a clipper ship, Mr. Winterbottom, a clipper ship. And that was in the days before electric clippers. Every man aboard had to do his own clipping by hand. Well, one day I was seated on the bills, clipping coupons out of a magazine, when the cry went up, an iceberg dead ahead.
An iceberg?
Yes, and it wasn't such an iceberg at that. The next instant was a resounding crash. We struck. Quick as a flash, everybody jumped off the ship, all except the radio operator.
Yes.
Hero that he was, he stuck by his radio set, trying to get in touch with the other vessel.
Yes, and did he?
Yes. Our boat blew up, and he was picked up by 14 ships. Clinging to a broken flotsam and jetsam, I finally made my way to a huge cake of ice in the midst of an ice jam.
A cake of ice in an ice jam?
Yes.
Huh?
All day Friday, I spent Wednesday there until Saturday morning. But was I daunted? Never. On Thursday, I picked up a box and lunch and started before.
How could you pack up for what? What could you pack up for lunch there, for goodness sake?
Cake and jam. And once more, I start on a dash for the pole, the final dash, this time using dogs.
Yes. Well, what kind of dogs did you use on that dash?
Dash hounds.
Now, listen, that'll be just enough about that, Hector Smith. You can just... Oh, Dad Rackett, here's that envelope that they forgot to take. Look here. Now, Hector, take this over to Mr. Girard, will you?
Yes, but I haven't finished telling you about how I discovered the North Pole.
Yes, well, just never mind about that. I reckon I'm smart enough to know that Perry discovered the North Pole.
Yes, but I was the first one that went there by motor.
By motor?
Yes.
You just got through saying you used dogs.
Well, you see, all the dogs got sick. Once more, it looked as if my venture was doomed to failure.
Yes.
The average man would have turned back, but not Hector Smith.
No.
I unhitched the dogs, captured some other animals, hitched them to the sled, and the next day I arrived at the pole.
Driving them animals hitched to the sled.
Yes, sir, and when I returned to New York...
Now, just a second here, Hector Smith. I tripped up for once. A minute ago you said you went to North Pole in a car, and now you say you drove some animals.
Yes, and when I returned to... Oh, God. Did I say I went to North Pole in the car?
You were going tootin' you did. So the whole thing's a lie now, ain't it?
No, sir. I'll stick exactly what I said. Those animals that I drove were otters.
Otters?
Yes, sir, otters. I was the first man to reach the pole by automobile.
You get out of here, Hector Smith. Go on and get. Yes. Okay, don't forget to deliver that letter.